feller. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. A few technical difficulties, that's why we got a little bit of a late start, but we're doing the best we can over here. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to have pure high school content. This is championship weekend for baseball and softball. State track and field event is going on at Buchanan High School right now. I want to thank First String Sports for being our sponsor. First String Sports has been my day one sponsor. Go on down to check out the guys and all the equipment. Letterman's Jacket, Blackstone and Sierra Avenue, First String Sports are, the Letterman's Jacket room is awesome. And I've done all of my shows there. They've been fantastic sponsors. So make sure you guys go check them out. Thanks to First String Sports. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Clovis West baseball coach Kevin Patrick just about the landscape of baseball this year. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of controversy, let's say, about the playoff seedings and, only 8 teams in Division I, which then trickle down to Division II and then Division III and so on. So we'll be getting some good content from Coach Kevin Patrick. He definitely has a beat on the Central Section sport. I mean, football, basketball, baseball. He's got a lot of information. So looking forward to talking to Kevin Patrick. At the bottom of the hour, Josh Labandera. That name is very, very familiar in baseball circles. Labby, as he's known, played baseball at Menachie High School, College of the Sequoias, and, of course, Fresno State. And he's a scout for the Boston Red Sox. And if you have been to some high-level baseball games, I'm pretty sure Josh Labby has been there at those games. He's got a great sense of all the players. I know he's up north right now scouting West Coast Conference baseball tournament all the way down to Bakersfield. Josh has a great, great knowledge of the game, obviously. We're going to be talking about some of the best high school baseball players in the Central Section. There's a couple dudes down in Bakersfield that could get drafted. Talk about Brock Jones, who's having an incredible season for Stanford, Buchanan grad, and he's a potential first-round pick this year as well. So looking forward to talking to Josh at the bottom of the hour. And an hour number two, talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe is one of my partners in crime here at 1430 ESPN. Does a great job keeping track of scores, going to events, and doing interviews. And lots of stuff to talk about, that's for sure. We were at the incredible Central and Clovis East baseball game last night at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium, where Clovis East prevailed. They won their first Central Section championship in baseball in school history with an incredible 4-3 win. They won it in the bottom of the seventh on a walk-off walk. Right. I'm not going to say it was anticlimactic, but the ending was a little bit surreal, just in accordance to how well played that game was and all the clutch hits and back to back homers for Central. And then Clovis East got a home run in the bottom of the sixth, and then Central tied in the top of the seventh. And then they pushed over a run in the bottom of the seventh. So I'm talking with Gabe about that. And then speaking of Clovis East, Alex Righetti, who was the starting pitcher on the mound for Clovis East, threw 4 shutout innings. He's the one that drew the walk-off walk. He's going to be coming in. He is our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. All right, a couple other scores and notes about this weekend. Stockdale, they won the Division I baseball championship. I don't think many of us were surprised by that. They played down there in Visalia at Rawhide Stadium. A couple grand slams, I believe, or 1 grand slam by Austin Charles. He's one of the guys we're going to talk about with Labby. Stockdale had a really good team. They were the number 2 seed. They won over Righetti, who was the 5 seed that beat Clovis West in the first round. We'll be breaking that game a little bit more with Gabe. Also in baseball, I want to remind everybody of the games that are going to be going on today. So at 11 o'clock in D4, Lemoore is playing number 5. Lemoore is the 14 seed. Madera South is the number 5 seed at Fresno State. In D5, in Visalia at 2 o'clock, Emmanuel, the 3 seed, is playing number 1 Kennedy. At 3 o'clock at Fresno State, D6, number 3 Mendota versus number 1 Sierra. And the marquee game in Visalia. 6 o'clock D3, Bakersfield, the 13 seed versus number 6, Hanford. Yeah, state track and field. Gabe is going to be there. So we're going to do a little preview because I know that some of our Central Valley athletes have shots at meddling, if not winning. I know Central's got a really good 4x1 squad on the boys' side that has the number one mark in the state this year. Yeah, I'm going to be breaking that down a little bit more. I want to mention softball championships in D2 last night. The number 7 seed Bullard beat number 1 Hanford 4-3. It was a game that after the Clovis Eastern Central game, I was able to jump across the street and catch the end of that game. So congrats to the Knights for winning a Central Section Championship in D2. And in D3, number 5 in Natchez beat Wasco 2-0. And tonight, marquee game, Division 1, number 3 Clovis is taking on number 4 Central. Track opponents at 7 o'clock at Margie Wright Diamond. I'm going to be checking out that game as well. So you guys can follow me at Paul Metters on Twitter, and I'll be updating that game as well. All right, coming up after the break, I'm going to be talking with Clovis West baseball coach Kevin Patrick on 1430 ESPN. I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice and sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. I was told when I get older all my fears would shrink, but now I'm in. Kevin Patrick of the Clovis West Golden Eagles here on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I want to thank First String Sports for being our sponsor. First String Sports is awesome. It's definitely the go-to place for all your high school sports needs. Get your Letterman's jacket, get your baseball equipment. I know summer's about to get here, so if you don't got your baseball stuff, you got to head on over there and get it. So, Coach Patrick, one of the hot topics that's been going around for, I don't know, for all season, and then it was rectified a little bit concerning the, Division I baseball playoffs for sure, is 8 teams for Division I. And then, we see some teams that would normally be 9 through 16 trickle down into Division 2, Division 3. People have been talking about Kerman with the number one seed in Division 2, and they got upset in the first round. It's kind of unfair to a school like that. Kind of what is your overall sense of feeling of 8 teams in Division 1? Does it concern really a lot of the top schools? I know you had a really good baseball team this year. You guys were seeded number 4. But, yeah, what's your overall, the pros and cons for what happened in baseball this year concerning playoffs?
Well, first of all, congratulations to all the champions. It was good. It was fun. It was competitive. I think going as far as Division I's concerned, I was looking forward to it. I thought it was actually pretty good. I thought the system was good going into it. Obviously, if you are a school like Kerman, they've got the argument of some competitive disadvantages. You're playing in a division, against opponents that have 3 or 4 times the enrollment. So, I can understand, they were 28-0 going to the playoffs and had to, had to play in Division II. So, I could see, I see it both ways, both sides of it. I personally, in the D1 side, it was kind of nice going into it because essentially you had a first round bye. All the 8 teams had a first round bye. But at the same time, your guys get used to playing in a rhythm of playing 2 or 3 times a week like we did during the league. So, I don't know if it ended up being detrimental. You saw some upsets there, with us, Bullard and Buchanan all losing on the same day.
Yeah, that trickle down effect was interesting. And I see a lot of things on Twitter and most coaches do. One of the things that I saw that concerned me is just people just directing a lot of comments towards the CIF Central Section, said, oh, it's unfair. They don't like kids. They don't like medium and small schools. They all get punished. But here's the deal. So there is a board of managers, which is 2 representatives from each league. And they voted on this in October of 2020, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. So the track, the 2 representatives from, let's say, the track or the CMAC or some of the bigger school conferences, they have their votes count just the same as the smaller schools. Let's go as small as like Layton, right? the votes count the same. So that was voted on by that. What is your understanding about next year, Kevin? Do you think, as your athletic director, Matt Loggins, talked to you about maybe some ratifications or some different ideas or some different regulations are going to come down the pike next year?
Honestly, I really don't know. I think this is kind of going to be a trial run, and I think, you know, those the guys that do vote on this stuff are going to get together and look at the positives and the negatives. I don't know if it worked out the way they maybe envisioned it, you know, when they set it up the way they did, because I think, you know, if you look back at, you know, football, basketball, and then certainly baseball, you know, you saw a lot of traditional D1 teams that were winning D2 championships, you know, and again, I don't know if that's the way they drew it up or, you know, what they expected, but it seems like that's the way that it played out.
Yeah, and you mentioned your game with Rigetti, and, you know, Buchanan fell to Frontier, the number one fell to the number eight, and then you mentioned that Bullard loss to Liberty. Sorry, I'd say Frontier. Buchanan fell to Frontier, Bullard to Liberty. And when you saw those scores, what was your reaction? I don't like to use the word slept on or a phrase like that for the Bakersfield schools, because we all knew that they were really good. And then Rigetti, you know, they took Buchanan to the limit last year as a 16th seed. But what was your reaction when you saw those scores?
Well, you know, we were all playing at the same time, so I honestly didn't know them until afterwards. You know, you see the Buchanan loss, and, you know, because they were on the same side of the bracket as us, you know, it actually, you know, things kind of played out nicely for us, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, we couldn't get past Rigetti, but we knew they were a solid ball club. We didn't sleep on them at all. You know, we played them 2 years ago in the COVID year, and we only beat them 2-1, and that's with, Eshawn Henderson on the mound. So we knew they were a solid ball club. They did what they needed to do that day. You know, we capitalized on a couple of our mistakes, and we just didn't get a couple timely hits when we needed them.
And now that the championship games are back to Rawhide Stadium in Visalia and at Fresno State, what do you prefer as a coach? I know in basketball, there were games at Cellon Arena. The higher seed had the home championship game. We had that great Clovis West and St. Joe's men's basketball game that we were able to witness, and the kids got to celebrate on the field, or the students got to celebrate on the court with the players, and that was really fun to see. But what do you like better, Coach? Do you like playing on the home sites or the higher seeds, or do you like playing on the quote unquote big fields, as I like to call them sometimes?
You know, it was fun. We played in 2018. We played at Rawhide. That was fun. But at the same time, I think, you know, having that home field advantage is nice. You know, it gives your kids a chance to celebrate after the games. I know the games at Rawhide, you know, they ushered the teams out right after the games. You didn't really have a chance to celebrate and soak it in like you would have liked to. But, I think the home field advantage part of it, I think, is special. And I kind of like to see it go back to that. But at the same time, I think it's nice, you know, for maybe some of the smaller division schools to get to play on that big stage, you know, in those stadiums. So I can definitely see why CIF does it the way they do.
And I definitely want to give you guys congrats on your son, Tyler, verbally committing to Fresno State. I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago. What was that process like for you? Because obviously you're his coach, you're his father, you're well connected to a lot of programs around the state. But yeah, what was that process like for you?
It was just fun. You know, I was just trying to enjoy it the best that I can. You know, Tyler, you know, put himself in a nice position. He went to quite a few Fresno State games this year, and just kind of, as you know, he's, the process went on, he kind of felt, you know, said, hey, you know, this feels more and more like home. And, he got the offer, it was a pretty easy decision for him and our family.
Yeah, I think so. It's always good to stay home. And yeah, he's only a sophomore, so he's got a couple more years with you and a couple more years in the football program as well. But I want to ask you too, Coach, what does summer look like now, right? Has the landscape really changed over the last couple years in regards to summer baseball and these kids that go on and play in these big time travel tournaments? Has that taken precedence over high school baseball as far as the summer programs? Are you, what type of tournaments do you guys play in? What does that look like?
You know what? It goes both ways. You know, I try my best to put the most competitive schedule together for our guys, you know, to eliminate the fact that they feel the need to go out and play on a summer travel team or whatever. You know, we're playing Bellarmine, Jay Sarah twice this summer, you know, West Ranch, some of the top programs from throughout the state. You know, we got about a 20-game schedule and try to put the best schedule we can together. But, you know, at the same time, there's, you know, there's some big-time travel tournaments, you know, that get a lot of scouts out there as well. So, you know, I'm okay with our guys doing that. And, you know, as long as they, you know, they give everything they can to our program when they're with us.
Yeah, you got to be flexible in this day and age, sure. Don't you?
Sure. That's a word. Absolutely.
That's a word. All right, we got about another minute, Coach. What when was Clovis West graduation? Has it happened yet?
We graduate on Thursday.
On Thursday. Okay, I think Clovis High, they had their graduation already.
Yeah,
I think Fresno Unified is next week as well.
Right.
All right. Well, Coach Kevin Patrick, Clovis West, hey, I appreciate you greatly. You've been a friend of the show. Whenever I've texted you, you've texted me back. And yeah, I really appreciate you. And, you know, if I don't talk to you, have a great summer. And I'll see you during football season. I can't wait for football.
Yeah. It's exciting. Paul, thanks for having me on. You know, I appreciate all that you and Gabe do for, you know, high school sports in our area. You guys got it covered. That's for sure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Paul.
Coming up after the break here on 1430 ESPN, former Fresno State baseball shortstop standout and now scout for the Boston Red Sox, Labby Josh Lamadera, is coming on talking about some of the top athletes, some of the top baseball players around the Central section, and maybe a little bit more. Yeah, what it takes to get to the next level, some things that the general public doesn't know or doesn't understand about the baseball world and scouting and all that good stuff, coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Joined by Josh Lamadera. Labby graduated from Menachi High, Fresno State. Boston Red Sox scout right now. Played pro ball from 2001 to 2008. Labby, thanks for joining me today, man. I really appreciate it. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Right on. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yeah, and if you know, when we played baseball back in the day, right? We didn't have walk-up songs, right? If you had a walk-up song back in the day, what would you do? What would be your choice?
We had walk-up songs when I played. Oh. We had walk-up songs back in the day. That was just like, that was kind of the tip of the iceberg. Like, that's when it was kind of like, I don't know, that's when things, I guess that was kind of starting to kick off. It wasn't real popular very often. You didn't see it very often. It wasn't very common. So we're kind of like, I guess, in the forefront of that generation, unfortunately.
there's a lot of players up and down the Central section I'm going to talk about, but there's a couple dudes in Bakersfield that we were able to see this year. One was Cutter Coffey, who hit a couple bombs at Bullard. I know you were at that game, in the playoff game, hit that oppo double that was pretty impressive as well. Austin Charles at Stockdale. He's a freakish, you know, 6'7", plays shortstop. I think they're going to move him around a little bit. Hit a grand slam last night at Rawhide. You know, what's the word on two of those guys? You guys think those are high draft picks, or do you think those guys are college bound?
Both those guys are both two, I guess you could say, very unique players, because they have potential on both ends of the spectrum. And being position players, you know, toolsy position players, as well as prospects on the mound that both have, you know, mid-90s fastballs and solid secondary pitches when they hit on them. So, like, both those guys are really good examples just of what prospects look like in terms of, you know, what we're looking for on our end. But, you know, to start with Charles, 6'6", I mean, you don't come across high school kids that play shortstop that can move like that. You know, whether, you know, guys see him staying on the dirt or moving to the outfield. I heard guys throwing the, you know, Aaron Judge comparisons out there. Like, he's a different animal. A lot of projection left in the body. Like, he's going to be a really big individual at the end of the day. You put him on the mound, and now it's size, presence, has some similarities to Hunter Green. You know, if he would have potentially pitched all year, maybe we're talking about a Hunter Green type arm. And I'm not saying he's like the top three pick, but maybe he's similar to that guy down the road. And then Cutter Coffey, super athletic, slick filled in shortstop. I mean, that's what he's a, you know, probably the best shortstop that we're going to see come out of the Valley, at least the best one that I've seen from the high school in. Does it pretty easy, arm strength, you know, offensively draws, like I think they're throwing some Troy Tulowitzki comparisons out there. Just a kid on that continues to get better, a really good baseball player at the end of the day, like hard nosed, no flash, no flair, just a lot of meat and potatoes to his game, you know. And then you put him on the mound, and dude, it's a quick arm, athletic, with a wipeout slider, and tons of athleticism to potentially start. Both those guys are very similar, in you know, from a tools and prospect standpoint, in my opinion.
And with Cutter Coffey, you're exactly right. When he hit those home runs, he ran the bases. Like, you know, like compared to Barry Sanders, when he scored a touchdown, he would just hand the ball to the referee. And when Cutter hit those bombs, he just run the bases and he let his teammates celebrate. So, yeah, those are two guys that have been fun to watch over the last few years. And there's another kid who's garnered a lot of attention, and for good reason, is Brock Jones, Buchanan grad. Tearing it up at Stanford, really made a name for himself at the College World Series last year. The announcers loved him, and you know, putting out a lot of graphics up on him. And I saw some, you know, some draft potential top 10 picks coming into the season. I start off a little bit slow, but the last 6 weeks, that dude has really taken off. I think at one point he had 12 home runs in his last 20 games. You know, he projects pretty high this year too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the year, he's coming off a sensational sophomore season. A very dynamic player when you look at his background. You know, was a two-sport guy, which you don't really see very often. And with that comes, you know, probably a little less time on the baseball field. So now he's kind of in the swing of things where he's playing baseball. You know, he put the pigskin down. He's playing baseball year-round. And he's starting to see, you know, you're starting to see the athlete, him come out. With his swing, and he's always had power, and he's always been able to run, but his game's just refining and getting a lot cleaner. Yes, he did struggle early on, but the kid's a pretty resilient kid, and he just has a really good he's a really good makeup kid, man, from a work ethic standpoint. He's just a really stand up type player. And you talk about a player that has a lot of respect from his teammates. It's like that guy makes that team go. You know, I think he's got like some Nick Swisher type attributes to him in terms of personality and charisma and the type of player he could potentially be down the road. You know, he's a guy that makes dudes around him better, and those are the kind of players that you want to add to your organization. So it's not a big surprise that he's potentially going to be a tough, you know, first supplemental round pick when it's all said and done. So he's done really, really well for himself. It's really good to see a kid from the Valley, Buchanan, go off to Stanford and have that type of career in the Pac-12. So it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to scout. He was a prospect in high school, you know. I mean, if he had, you know, serious considerations of signing, then potentially he would have. But, you know, he's got Boris, and it's just a lot harder coming out of high school. And at the end of the day, most of them aren't ready. So it's a vicious – the pro game's a vicious game these days, man. A lot less roster spots. Innings are hard to come by. At bats are hard to come by. The game just keeps getting younger. You got to be pretty advanced and pretty mature and have your head on straight if you want to get in the professional side and start your career. And I say career because that's what it is. So, but the guys that you talked about, all three of those guys are perfect examples. If there's a young kid out there, the type of high school player or type of college player you'd like to turn into, I think those three kids would be really good kids to just, you know, kind of mold your game around.
Yeah, and talk about their character as well. And I know Brock Jones comes from really good stock, and he's got the drive, and he's got the charisma, and, you know, he's He's all over social media. But one of the things that I noticed too about Brock Jones' social media pages, he's always posting on Instagram about others, his teammates, celebrating his teammates. And it's never, it's never about him. It's always about his teammates. And that's definitely going to go a long way. We're talking with Josh Lamadera, scout for the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, and you hit on this a little bit, Josh. And I'm very curious about this. When you're scouting high school versus college players, what's the difference? Obviously, you still got the aluminum bat and their bodies aren't mature yet. And are you looking at how they're going to project in 3 years for the college kids? Are you just looking for those little refinements that they make from year to year? So what's the main difference between scouting high school and college?
I think scouting either or, neither one's simple. Nothing makes it easier. Because at the end of the day, they're all a risk. They should all have poor probability. When I'm trying to sort them out between the high school guys, they, like I was saying earlier, I think maturity and being able to handle themselves and carry themselves in a professional manner. A lot of guys that you're going to take up out of high school, not all, but the guys that you're going to pay are potentially going to be the face of your draft. They're going to go out there and represent your organization. So you really got to be sure that guy is everything on and off the field. The college guy tends to be, you're scouting a little bit more numbers. You're looking at his history, how he's fared against his within his conference, how the strength of his conference. Unfortunately, that does play a factor in from a number standpoint. It doesn't change a player's tools. And that's essentially what we're looking for, regardless of high school or college. We're looking for tools. The college guys that have tools, that have numbers, they just become a little bit safer picks, I guess, when you look at it from that. And I think when you're making picks and you're giving the guys millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars, like, you want to feel good about that pick. And those numbers just kind of, the numbers and the history allow you to feel that.
Yeah, I got a kind of a two-part question here, Labby. What's your area to scout up and down California? And then who are some other high school dudes right now that are on your radar? I know there's a lot of young talent out there right now.
Well, I have a huge area. I go from down Bakersfield. I go all the way up to the Oregon border, all the way up to like Yreka, Eureka area. And then I have the northwestern part of Nevada, so cover Reno, Carson area, which has a very high profile left-handed pitcher at McQueen, a kid named Robbie Snelling, who you talk about big, strong power, spin, potentially starter type, potentially a front end type starter. This kid tied the Nevada State High School strikeout record. He broke Sean Estes's state record single season, I believe, this year, and he tied the state record with 20 in a game. So the kids advance. Like, when you're looking at a high-end, top-end pitcher, like, you got to be able to check some boxes off and velocity, control, command, pitchability, the ability to spin the ball, the ability to subtract the ball, just being more polished. It's not just all arm strength, velocity. It's having polish to that to the mix, and being able to repeat a delivery, throw quality strikes. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to draft high school starters, but it's a massive area, man. But there's good players. There's a high school hitter up in Sacramento named Malcolm Moore, center fielder out of Rockland. Unfortunately, he got hurt. Peyton Brennan, that I really thought was I think is a good player. You get over to the Bay Area. Bay Area is a little bit lighter for me this year. You've got the Palo Alto kid named Henry Bolt, who's super duper high ceiling. It's massive power, like 80 raw. I mean, this guy would be hitting them out of ballparks left and right down here. But players come from everywhere. I don't just sit at one high school. They come from all over the place, man. Places that you would never even imagine you'd go sometimes. So, yeah, it's a good size area. And I get a lot of windshield time over the course of the spring.
I know there's some young names. I'm just going to throw a couple out there. I want to know if you have any comments with these guys. I know that Trey Morris from Washington Union, who really came on the scene early this season as a freshman, left-handed pitcher. Peyton Barsotti is another freshman out there, plays for UCannon, comes from good stock. Obviously, his father was a Fresno State quarterback. Had a pretty good year, behind the plate. I know the Hirschhorn twins at Kingsburg. Are there some other names in our central section that you can speak of?
Yeah, I mean, you get down, Bullard's got a young crop. Clovis North has a lot of youngsters. Clovis West has some youngsters. The Brock Thompson kid in Liberty is a good young-looking player. Next year will probably be back over there with Brady Reynolds. Redwood High School's got some really good pitching next year with the Bosco kid, Reese Bueno. Kevin's son over at Clovis West is a good young catching prospect. He's got maybe power. I mean, Trey Morris, most definitely. Maybe one day if he stays at his high school, they'll name the stadium after him. I mean, he has that type of potential maybe. Pete Marsotti, big, strong, physical kid, power, arm strength. How his game continues to develop is going to be up to him. But he possesses tools. These young guys, see a lot of young kids with tools. They just don't know how or... they think they got to go. I'm going to be vanilla today. But they tend to think they have to do other things to become famous and good. And at the end of the day, man, you just got to go out and have the love, desire, passion. But I know a lot of these young guys. I do a scout team in the fall, which have an upper and underclass team. I think that's part of my process, part of how I want to work. I'm just kind of working ahead a little bit. I like to know where the players are moving forward. It just allows me to kind of set my schedule up. And I'll be honest, man, it allows me to put these guys, if I really like them, it allows me to put them in a position where my boss can see them early. I had a shortstop that I really liked. The kid we took in the first round, Nick York, had come down to work out with us before he headed out. So I had a kid that was a junior, a next year guy. My boss happened to be in Fresno, and it allowed him to see him already before the summer even started. So that name was like fresh in his head, and he happens to be one of the guys I really like a lot this year. So it just works out, working ahead a little bit, and then it allows me to kind of, I hate to say this, but I have to separate, man. They're not all prospects on the professional side. A lot of them are going to go off to college and turn themselves into professional prospects, but they're not, a lot of them aren't guys that I'm going to draft right out the gate. It's like I'm working down the road,
Yeah.
So, but I do know a lot of these young guys around here, Paul. I think that's important. I think that's kind of what's important about my job is, to get into these, get around these younger guys and try to get to them before maybe they see some stuff that's not the way the game should be played or not the way you do things or that's not how you get yourself to that next level. So it just allows me, like I said, Martin, work ahead and maybe get at these dudes a little earlier, get in their ear and hopefully kind of show them some things that'll help them progress their game.
Talking with Josh Lamadera, and yeah, you hit on that, Labby, about, the other things that scouts look at. You talk about tools and projections, but what about, body language? I mean, if you could talk to some, kids out there that maybe want to play at the next level, whether it's junior college, D1, or be a pro baseball player, you talk about body language, you talk about how they interact with teammates, coachability, all those things factor in too, right? Because you never know who's watching and when.
Well, absolutely, and I think, a big thing for me is when we get to the park sometimes, sometimes we're bouncing from games. Like when I walk in the park and I look at you, I shouldn't be able to tell if you're 4-for-4 or 0-for-4. You want to try to keep that even keel demeanor
You know, it's, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being rah-rah. And I say this a lot, but I say this with like your swing, like hitting, like your swing should match the situation, just like maybe your celebrations should match the situation. If it's a big hit, you want to celebrate, go for it. But if you're chasing runs and you're up big, like just get around the bases, man. But leading on to that, you know, what we're dealing with today now is the social media. And if these kids that are committed to the schools and they want to be committed to schools, they need to not post and be all over social media, or replying to people. And you know, if they don't think these coaches are following it, they're following it very closely. And a lot of times when I get calls about kids from college guys, man, they don't, you know, they already know they're good players. That's why they're calling. They're calling to know, hey, man, this guy played on your scout team, or, hey, why didn't this guy play on your scout team? And just, you know, being a good dude on and off the field, like, it speaks volumes, man. It carries a lot of weight. Because, like I said, these college coaches, when they're calling high school coaches or they're calling these travel coaches, they're calling because they already know the kids are good players. They're calling to find out what kind of kids they are, their work ethic, how do their teammates like them. I mean, I was just talking about that this morning. Like, my best recruiters, they're not, you know, a lot of people think it'd be dads, but it's not. It's actual kids. The kids are the ones, they know who the good players are. They tell you who the good players are, you know. So they tell you the guys they respect. They tell you the guys they don't respect. So I think it's really important these guys are good teammates, and it carries a long way. It carries a lot of weight down the road, how they carry themselves on the field and particularly off the field more so.
Yeah, that's big time. And I think that's something that's a good reminder for everybody out there. And Labby, really appreciate you coming on the show, taking the time. I know you're on the road right now, but I got one final question. Are there any Central Valley guys in the minors right now that, you know, got a really good shot of making an impact? You think right now, you know, you think about Aaron Judge and Taylor Ward from Fresno State, who are probably going to be all-stars. I know Ward's a little banged up right now. And then Luplo is, you know, he's getting some ABs and he's matching some home runs for Arizona. But are there some Central Valley guys that, that have a good shot of making the bigs?
Oh, man, it's like most of these dudes, as long as they got a uniform and spikes on, man, they got a chance to get to the big leagues. You know, I follow a little bit. I think the little Darian Miller kid out of Clovis High has been swinging the bat well. Carson Seamus, the kid I got out of Clovis West, has been coming to life a little bit more. You know, super high prospects, like, you know, all-star type caliber players. I don't know where it's going to go. It'll depend on these dudes. You know, Gatewood's kind of getting rolling again. We'll see if he can pop his head up there this year. But I couldn't tell you, man. I'm kind of detached away from that, other than reading our game reports when we get them in the morning. That's the only kind of pro ball I typically follow. Or maybe the guy I didn't turn in, you know, follow that guy a little bit more than some I did. So,
but. Yeah, and I think we're all – rooting for Jake Gatewood to, you know, like you said, you know, poke his head in the majors. You know, he had a really good end of the year last year. I believe he was with the Angels. So yeah, we're all rooting for Jake. So Josh, I really appreciate you coming on. You know, and again, I know you're on the road, but man, I hope to run into you soon, and have fun this summer.
Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, Josh Lamadera. All right. Thanks, my man. All right, that was Josh Lambendera. Just a wealth of knowledge, and I love hearing about these kids and how they project, and throwing a few truth bombs out there as far as, you know, what these scouts are looking, man. If you're a dude, you know, you need to obviously show what you can do on the field, but you need to show what you can do off the field, and body language and celebrations and all that stuff. All those things matter. So good bits of wisdom and nuggets from Josh there. Coming up after the break, we're going to be breaking some things down with Gabe Camarillo. We've had a lot of action, and a lot of more action is going to happen this weekend in the Central section. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, and I love that intro song, man. And when I got my first show, and they said, yeah, you can kind of help shape your intro and use whatever type of music you want. And I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to go for some epic movie soundtrack score type sound. And so, yeah, I let that play as long as possible. I just had a great conversation with Josh Lamadera. Labby is, you know, he's kind of a baseball legend around here. Menachie High, College of Sequoias, Fresno State. I think he hit 367, 368 his senior year. All whack. And now I played 8 years of pro ball. We didn't get into that. And, you know, I love to hear stories when guys play professional sports. I love to hear stories about some of the dudes that they played with. And yeah, we didn't get into that. I would love to, but he's all about the kids. He does his job well. And you hear him just talk about projectability and players up and down the state. And yeah, you know, we look at this kid and you know, I think he's going to get bigger and he's got the tools. So yeah, that was great to hear from Josh, and great to hear before his segment with Clovis West baseball coach Kevin Practer. If you miss any episodes of any Off the Bench podcast that happens between 2 and 4 at the Fieldhouse, Jose Gonzalez show, which has now moved to the mornings. If you missed any of those shows, you can go back to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, and under podcast, you can download each show. And yeah, it's a lot of fun if you miss it. And you know, I hear some people that jump on a Tuesday and download it and listen to it in their car. So yeah, you guys got that capability as well, which is pretty darn neat. All right, time to bring in Gabe Camarillo, partner in crime, 1430. He hits the pavement hard. He's going to the state track and field event at Buchanan High School later today. We're going to be getting into that a little bit. But we were both at the D2 championship baseball game at Peatbine Field at Bob Bennett Stadium between Central and Clovis East. And I got to tell you, that was one of the best championship baseball games I've ever seen in my life. I've seen quite a few, but that one definitely had it all. Clovis East took a 2-0 lead in the first inning. There were zeros after that until back-to-back homers by Dallin Alice and Skylar Dwiggins. I believe it was the fifth inning, top of the fifth inning, back-to-back homers at the Fresno State baseball field, which was awesome. The place was electric. And then Carson Sandoval for Clovis East comes back and hits a home run to the bottom of the inning. Right-handed hitter, went oppo. Talked to the dude afterwards. I'm like, you ever hit a high school home run? He's like, no. He's like, I thought I hit a double, and just kept going and going. But that hit was legit. And then Central tied the game in the top of the seventh, two outs. Base hit by Dwiggins again. And then a hit and run where Pontecorvo hit a ball just kind of over the second baseman's head, and he scored all the way for first on a single. Hit and run. Right, scored all the way for first, and then the bottom of the seventh, Clovis East pulled it out on a double, intentional walk, infield single, and then a four-pitch walk drawn by Alex Righetti, who's going to be joining the show at the bottom of the hour. All right, so Gabe, I gave a little bit of recap. I don't know if I stole all your content there, but yeah, I mean, that was a phenomenal game last night. That was a lot of fun to watch. We were up in the press box. You were down on the field. How do you describe that game?
It was amazing. I mean, if things go different ways, Skylar Dwiggins is the MVP because he hit the game-tying home run. He hit a two-out, two-strike single in the top of the seventh for Central to give them last hope. And then he ran from first to home on a hit and run. Logan Pontecorvo had the RBI single to tie it. I mean, that play elevated the game from good to great. And then the ending, right? Two outs, you think it's going to go to extra innings. But then a double, and then an intentional walk, and then Paul Martinez has an infield single. All of a sudden, bases are loaded, and Alex Righetti, who started the game on the mound through four great innings, you know, that's a tough spot as a batter because you don't want to do too much. It's kind of what you dream of coming up in youth baseball, middle school baseball. You know, you're a senior. You're playing in a Valley Championship. Bases are loaded, two outs. Tie game in the bottom of the seventh. This is exactly what you dream of. I told him it was kind of like a movie, wasn't it? And he took four pitches and walked. I mean, that's kind of like anticlimactic, like you said at the beginning, but it's also really cool because, you know, it required discipline. You know, you're tempted to swing at the first pitch and be the hero, but he didn't. He kept his head just like he did throughout the season for the Timberwolves, and it won his team the Central Section Championship.
Yeah, that's their first baseball title in school history. And yeah, going back to that, four pitch walk, the first two pitches were fairly close. The third pitch was high and away. And then, yeah, I got to keep it real a little bit, right?
No, but, yeah, that should have been a strike.
Yeah, that fourth pitch, man, it sure looked like a strike, and well, I think and everybody in the stadium thought it was.
Even if it was off the plate, how can you make that call as the umpire? Let the kids decide it. I mean, I'm sure Rigetti would have hit a single and won it anyway. Or, I mean, you never know, but in that position as the umpire, you gotta let the kids decide the game.
Yeah, and again, from the press box, so I got a good view of everything, right? Everything's just unfolding. So on the left-hand side, you see Clovis East hesitantly at first. We just won. Let's go out and celebrate, right? Because we thought it was a strike. And then just the Central coaches just had their hands on their knees and just like, what, really? This great game ends on something like that. So anyway, again, you know, hats off to both teams. I tweeted out that was just a great game. And you know, afterwards, the kids are hugging each other, and you know, good celebration by Clovis East, and they definitely deserved it. I mean, they got hot at the right time. You know, it's baseball playoffs, right? And you get hot at the right time, and they won four games, and they definitely earned the D2 championship. And again, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, Stockdale won Division 1, 10-1 at Rawhide Stadium, beating Rigetti. But again, I want to hit on this a little bit, Gabe, because I think this is good content. This is pretty interesting to people. I did some research about I call it the ADA, right? How many students go to a certain school. And I'm just going to throw a couple out there, Gabe, and I think it'll just pique some interest in our listeners. You know, just how skewed some of the playoffs are. You got some Division 2 teams, you know, that might not, you know, should not be there, right? So Reedley, 1,793 students. That's a decent amount. You're approaching 2,000. Clovis West, how many more do you think, Gabe? How many more students does Clovis West have than Reedley?
I mean, at least 1,000 more.
Clovis West has 2,015, so it's just over 200 more students.
Wow.
So you think of Reedley and Clovis West, right?
That kind of surprises me, yeah.
Yeah. Templeton, who played in D2 this year as an 11 seed, who lost to Clovis East, 751 students, right? Bakersfield High, one of the biggest schools in our central section, almost 3,000, 2,902. Bullard sitting at 25-23. And Kingsburg, a lot of talk about Kingsburg this year. They've had really good programs this year. Kingsburg has just over 1,000 students, 1,088. If you think about who they lost to in baseball this year, Kingsburg was the number one seed, and they lost to that Bakersfield, 2,902 students. Right?
How many does Hanford have? I mean, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but...
Yeah, Gabe, I got Hanford. Hanford's going to surprise you, too. Hanford is at 2,143, so more than Clovis West.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And then you go back to football, right? So Bullard played Kingsburg in the semifinals, right? Bullard was the number one in D2, and Kingsburg was the four. So that is about 1,500 student difference between Bullard and Kingsburg. Lemoore, almost 2,000, 1,916, and they were in Division 4 baseball.
And they beat Dos Palos.
They beat Dos Palos. This has 670. And today they are playing Madera South. I'm talking about Lemoore. They're playing Madera South in the Central Section Championship. And that game has started right now at Fresno State. Madera South, a whopping 3,274 students. So in Division 4, you have a school in Lemoore that is 1,916 playing Madera South, 3,274. You took a deep breath.
And that's why
there,
people
Gabe.
Are not happy with the playoff system. And I understand that, because you've had these teams in the championship games that, for one reason or another, they've gotten there. You know, you give Madera South's players credit. They play the games in front of them. But think about who Madera South played during the season. They played Memorial twice. They played Bullard twice. They played other good teams on the non-conference schedule. Of course they're going to beat Liberty Madera. Who did Liberty Madera play? They played Kerman, right? But, you know, Madera South had that trial by fire. Lemoore, you know, they played in the West Yosemite League against Hanford. Hanford's in the D3 title game. And Hanford, for instance, you know, Hanford versus Bakersfield. I would have loved to see Kingsburg versus Hanford, but Kingsburg lost to a Bakersfield team that had to play Stockdale 3 times, Liberty 3 times, and Frontier 3 times. All D1 teams. So, you know, it's no surprise why these teams are in the championship games, but that doesn't necessarily mean I agree with it.
Yeah, there's lots of factors with this, right? We could be talking it around in circles and circles for this, and we wouldn't have a perfect solution. And there never is for playoffs. You know, there's always going to be a little bit of controversy. There's going to be tweaks here and there. I mean, heck, look at the leagues. The leagues are changing again next year. Some schools are just getting it done a little bit better than other schools, right? And with admin and facilities. And so those schools are rising to the top. You think about a school like Dinuba that's moving into the league with Tulare and Tulare Western.
And Bakersfield moving to the South Yosemite League, which means they don't have to play Liberty or Garcetson football.
Wow. Yeah. Lots of things, Gabe. Never a lack of a conversation, a topic when you're talking about playoffs and school size. And yeah, I mean, everything ebbs and flows from year to year, it seems like in our central section. And hey, guys, also to our transfer system, it is nowhere near what goes on in the SoCal and NorCal, especially the SoCal. So SoCal guys are transferring left and right. That's a different animal down there. And so, yeah, we don't have near the amount of transfer issues that go on here in the central section comparative. All right, Gabe, we got a few minutes here before we're going to take a break. But we got to talk about track and field, right? Yesterday was the prelims. Were you able to go yesterday at all?
Yeah, I watched the jumping events and the 4x1 relay prelims.
Okay, cool. And then you're going to go today. So, I know Nathan Johnson, the quarterback from Clovis High, that's going to Utah. He's made a name for himself with 100. I think he's third. Am I right on that?
Yeah, he finished first in his heat, but he got third overall time-wise.
Correct. But there's a dude, right? There's a dude in the 400 that ran a 10.14.
He was a little slower yesterday. I saw he was like 10.3 area. He was like second, I think. But if he breaks the national high school record, which is just 10.13, that would be pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, and I think he's a football commit as well. I think he's only a junior.
Yeah, he's only a junior. Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to, I think UCLA maybe is where
he's committed. USC's looking at him really
okay,
hard.
Got it. But who are some Central Valley athletes that have a good shot at medaling? I know that Clovis East has a female thrower that's tearing it up, and then the Takaya Sensi from Clovis North.
Oh, she's fast.
Yeah, she's good.
She finished first overall of anyone in the 200, and you definitely want to watch her if you're going to go to Veterans Memorial Stadium. Oh, actually, not the 200, the 400 she Correct. Was first yeah. overall. But, Chris Cadillo, he made it in the 1600 coming into this meet. He was seeded first because a couple of Newberry Park runners who were ahead of him in the state rankings are not in this meet. So he came in as the first seeded 1600 runner. So if you want to watch the mile, that's something to see. You mentioned Faye Yolokani. She's a discus and shot put thrower. Clovis North's freshman, McKay Mattson, who we've seen on the football field, he's a state finalist in both the discus and the shot put. You have Cameron Tarver from Central. He won his heat in the 100, and so he's going to race against Clovis's Nate Johnson and all the other 100-meter finalists tonight. That's at about 7 o'clock-ish. I know we have the schedule in front of us. And in fact, let me just pull it up right now to tell you guys exactly what time the 100 starts tonight. The 100-meter dash for the boys is at 7:40. So the girls is at 7:35. The 4x1 has three track teams in boys. You have Central, who had the fastest time yesterday, Buchanan, and Clovis North. They're going to be in the 4x1. So if you're a local fan of track or just a local high school fan in general, I know you have a lot of choices because you have Clovis softball playing for a championship tonight. You have all the baseball games going on. But, you also have to remember that the state track and field meet has had Olympians come through it. I mean, Jenna Prandini 10 years ago was a medalist here at the state track and field meet. So you have a lot of good choices, but a good choice is also this meet right here.
Yeah, and I think about Michael Norman, right, from went on to USC, and he made the Olympic team. I remember watching him at the state meet. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a picture of this dude because this guy's going to be Olympian. And just those kids are just built different, right? You could just tell just athletically they're just so gifted and blessed, and just their strides and how smooth they are and graceful. And I do want to mention this too, Gabe, that there is a Central Section athlete that still holds the California state record in long jump and the national high school record in long jump. James Stahl with Tulare Union in 1989. So that's the year I graduated. So I remember hearing about this kid. He jumped 26.4.75 at the California state meet in 1989.
No one even approached that in the prelims yesterday.
No, like you think about the baseline. I think about 25 feet in the long jump as the baseline. I was like, yeah, that got my attention. And I know Caleb Foster from Clovis North did that a few years ago. So yeah, that's kind of my benchmark. And yeah, Stallworth, I remember hearing about that, man. 4.75. That's a dude right there.
That's wild. And so yeah, exactly. That just the names you'll see from the Central Valley: Nate Johnson, Cameron Tarver, the 4x1 team of Amari Conley, Josiah Lindsay, Tarver, and Jeremiah Walker. Walker's another guy I want to mention. You know, he's gonna kill it in the 400 for the boys. So you know, there's just so many reasons to go watch the track meet tonight. But I get it. If you want to watch Clovis softball win their 11th Central Section title, I wouldn't blame you, because shoot, I want to be there too. So
and their opponent is Central, right? Central's had a really good year for athletics. You think about their football team, their basketball team had a good year, and their boys. Volleyball team won the D2 title. So yeah, I mean, tonight's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm going to that softball game. Yeah, and it seems like Clovis softball with Coach Mike Noel, they peak at the right time, and their pitcher is she's throwing the heck out of the ball right now too, isn't she?
Yeah, she really is. I mean, in 14 innings this postseason, she's only given up 3 hits.
Lauren Carranco.
Yeah, she really is pitching really well, and I just think the sustained dominance. It's been kind of a year where we've seen new names win championships, but like Clovis West girls basketball, they continue their dominance in their sport. Same with Clovis softball. And you know, it's been Clovis North softball came into this postseason as the favorite, but injuries knocked them out. It's good to see Clovis, though, be able to beat the teams in front of them. They beat a really good Paso Robles team. They beat a really good Buchanan team. So it's been a tough road for them as well. And Central is going to be no easy game either, because all three of the games they play this year were close.
Yeah, I think 3-0, 5-2, and 3-2. Look at that off the top of my head. Impressive. All right, good job by you, Gabe. You can follow Gabe on Twitter at Gabe Camarillo. He's going to be all over the place today, probably retweeting some of the baseball scores. I know that Madera South and Lamore are playing baseball right now, so we'll try to get you some updates on that as we go along. All right, we're going to take a break right now, and coming back at First String Sports, we're going to have Alex Rigetti from Clovis East, and hope to have Coach Ryan Smith on as well. I know he's really stoked after last night's game. He got the standardized, you know, Gator. I think it was water bath, and he was drenched after the game, talking to him. So yeah, coming up, we're going to be talking with those two, talking Clovis East baseball and all the good stuff that happened last night. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. this has been an interesting day. We've kind of gone back and forth. We had some great guests. We had phone interviews with Kevin Patrick, Clovis West baseball, Josh Lamadera. Oh, that was a great interview. Love to hear nuggets of wisdom from Josh and the landscape of high school baseball. And talking to Gabe Camarillo, who hits the pavement hard and provides everybody with updates. He'll be at the central at the state track and field meet at Buchanan, and we're here at First String Sports. And yeah, I just want to give a lot of props to these guys. They're amazing over here. Do the show every show from the Letterman's Jacket Room, and you know, this is a big seller. And it's definitely the place to be. So come on down here to First String Sports and check them out. All right, we have Alex Rigetti from Clovis East Baseball. Alex is a senior headed to Cal Baptist. Nope, not on a baseball scholarship. Do they even have a baseball team there? I think they do. Yeah, they do. But on a water polo scholarship. He is Clovis East Male Athlete of the Year as well. Also played basketball. Maybe get a little basketball tough because Coach Wiggins, though, man. That guy gets after it, man. If you could play for Coach Wiggins, you could play for anybody. So, Alex, first of all, congrats on the incredible game that you had yesterday in Clovis East first baseball title in school history. But yeah, I mean, when you woke up this morning, you're just like, did that really happen? What were some of your thoughts when you woke up this morning?
Yeah, it was definitely a little surreal. That moment after, you know, walking to first base, it just felt like a movie. It felt insane. So definitely surreal, and just trying to take it all in right now.
And you're going to remember that for the rest of your life for sure. So again, you drew a 4-pitch walk in the bottom of the 7th to win the game. Also, you pitched those 4 shutout innings to start the game. Do you even remember touching first base? Did you go all the way? And obviously your guy scored, you know, coming from third. I think, was it Ty Miller that scored?
No, it was Derek Madden.
Okay. You're going to even remember walking, you know, or running or jogging at first and doing a little bat flip back to your dugout. Do you remember any of that stuff?
I just remember seeing the pitch and called it a ball, and I just threw my bat towards the dugout. Started kind of walking and jogging down to first. As soon as I touch first, I turn around and see my team coming, running at me, and then dog pile happened. That was crazy.
Did you get hurt on that dog pile?
I got some bruises, little scratches. It was pretty insane.
I remember it was actually my first Central Section Baseball Championship that I covered at Rawhide, and Buchanan won, and their pitcher, Loprich, that was his name. Like, the dog piled out. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this to scare anybody out there, but he broke his leg. The dude broke his leg in the bottom of the pile, and he had a scholarship to St. Mary's, I believe, or Santa Clara. And so, like, the next picture we see from him on social media is, like, him in the hospital, like, taking a selfie of a broken leg. Like, yeah, this just happened. So, anyway, glad you didn't get, you know, didn't get hurt too bad. But, what, you know, going into that game, and when Coach Smith said, okay, you're getting the ball, Fresno State, biggest game in you know, of the season for sure, right? How did he tell you? How did he explain it to you? He's like, okay, we're going to give you the ball. You're going to give us as much as you can, and we'll take it from there. So what did that look like when Coach said you're going to take the ball in that championship game?
When he told me, I was excited. I was waiting for, you know, getting to pitch and playing the championship game. As soon as I got there in the first inning, I just kind of looked around, you know, took in that moment, settled down, and then just got ready to go.
Did the field seem big to you, right? Did it seem just larger? I know the size from the base pass to the dugout's pretty big, and then from home plate to the back, right? And obviously, like, you know, even though there's three bombs last night in that game, right? It's, you know, 400 to this center. Did the field feel a lot different? Did it feel like you thought it was going to feel?
Yeah, it kind of felt how we thought. We just knew it was going to be bigger. Outfield would be bigger. So we had our best outfield out there. They were making plays.
You know, I'm able to look down from the press box and see the whole field. But yeah, I think your outfield did a phenomenal job. They, you know, Ty made that great catch in left field, and your center fielder made a couple great catches as well. But yeah, let's talk about the game. So you guys put up that two spot early in that first inning, right? After you threw a zero in the top of the inning. Did that let you relax a little bit? Like, okay, I got a couple runs to play with, let you execute your pitches?
Yeah, definitely relaxed me a little bit. But I knew Central wouldn't, you know, just give up right then and there. So I knew we needed a little bit more, and I needed to stay locked in on the mound and just keep getting the job done.
And I know Klein for Central pitched, you know, he pitched a good game. He gave up those two runs in the first. And as a pitcher, you can't think about what happened in, you know, even a pass pitch or the inning before. And I thought he did a really good job focusing and shutting you guys out, for a few more innings after that. But like after Central then tied the game at two, you're still in the game. What position did you move to a position?
Yeah, I was at first.
You play first. Okay. So when Central then tied the game after that, talking to Coach Smith, and he's going to be joining us. Yeah, look at him. He's ready to come in soon. Talking to Coach Smith before the game, he's like, yeah, these guys, they don't get down anymore. Like early in the season, if they'd be down, it'd be like, you know, slump shoulders and, you know, But something flipped right during the season. So when Central ended up tying the game, you know, what were you telling your teammates? What did you hear from those guys? Yeah, what was that like in the dugout?
We were kind of excited. I mean, it was a ball game, so tie game 0-0. We were just like, it's a new game. Just got to keep it going, you know, get those runs back, and then got the momentum. Carson Sandoval, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that guy is a beast, so.
And where were you in the dugout when Carson hit that homer? Did you have a good line of it going out to right field?
Yeah, I was in the hole, so I saw it. I thought it was just going to get over the right fielder's head, and it just kept going. I saw it get out, and we just went crazy.
I think that was everybody's reaction, right? And even talking to him after the game, he said, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I beat the right fielder, right? Like, it was going to get over his head. And then they kept going and going, like, oh, that's a home run, and that's a big-time home run. And then Central comes back, man. you know, give them a lot of props. They came back with a two-out rally of their own and got a single on a hit and run, scored their guy. All right, double, intentional walk, infield hit. Was there two outs?
Yes.
There was two outs. And so you're up, right? You're striding to the plate. What are you? Are you trying to block things out? Are you just thinking, I just want to see a good pitch to hit? I'm not going to be too aggressive. What was your mentality before you got into the batter's box?
I was excited. I just was waiting for a fastball that I could hit. Definitely tried to block out the crowd, the noise, and all that. So, yeah.
And then, so you took ball one, right? And you took ball two, and then ball three was pretty high and outside. And then you got the take sign all the way. The coach give you a take sign, or you just like, oh, I'm not.
Yeah, he told me to show bunt. I was going to swing. But this guy.
All right. So, Coach Smith, I'm pretty sure you're hooked up right here. Coach Smith, so, yeah, first of all, I want to talk about this guy, what he's meant to your program, what he's meant to the team, you know, how he came up clutch in last night's game.
Well, it wasn't just last night's game. It's kind of been all year. I mean, he wasn't slated to necessarily be a starter on the mound, but he worked his way into that role. The reason we started him on the mound is we knew it was going to be a crazy atmosphere. Their dugout was going to be jacked. It's a new stadium. So who can we put on the bump to kind of calm everything down? And for four innings, it's exactly what he did. So when he comes to the plate with the bags packed, it's like, that's the guy we want in the box. He easily could have swung that first pitch breaker, been overexcited a little bit, but he wasn't. He's matured. He's grown up this year. I mean, he's the guy we want in those pressure pack situations. One of the guys. But he's proven he can do it all year.
And 13 seniors are on the team, and he's one of them. How important was senior leadership? You know, you got a mix of a couple of freshmen that you had out there, right, thrown into the fire and performed extremely well. But senior leadership's big. When you got a championship team, right, you always point to your seniors, and you had some good ones this year, didn't you?
Oh, big time. Yeah, big time. And everybody kind of accepted the role they had. I mean, you can go down the line. I mean, go back to the summer. I mean, it was almost a year ago today. We got beat pretty bad down Liberty Bakersfield. In one of our first workouts, guys are kind of, you know, getting a little sideways. And Gerardo Idiguan, who most people have no idea who he is, hey, knock it off. And everybody stopped and goes right to where he is. So everybody kind of had their thing. It's been incredible. It's been so fun to be a part of. I'm just grateful that I was in the dugout this year. It's been unreal.
And I asked Alex the first question that we talked about is, like, when you woke up this morning, did it seem like a dream? And like, yeah, we're Valley champs. And I mean, what for you, when you woke up this morning, I don't know how much sleep you got last night, but when you woke up this morning, I mean, has it really hit you yet? Or what were you thinking this morning?
Yeah, I kind of hit this morning. No, we didn't sleep very much last night. I'm just excited for these kids. I mean, thinking about what they've gone through, what you're 13-1 or 13-0, your JV season, right? They got cut short because of COVID. Or 8-0 or something. They were rolling. It was like, all right, here we go. We're going to get it started. And then COVID hits. They easily could have been, you know, hey, whatever. We're just going to enjoy the year. And they didn't. You know, they fought through it. And, man, it was fun. It was really fun. And I think it hits when former players are texting and other coaches are saying, hey, congratulations. Nice job. You know, when they acknowledge it, when your peers kind of see the work you put in, you know, that's when it really starts to hit. You know, I get a couple text messages from some former coaches and mentors that it meant a lot to me to kind of get it from them. But, I mean, just for these kids to finish it, I think they really deserved to finish it this way.
And it's quite a difference, and I know, between a coach and a player, because you experienced it as a player for Buchanan in 2005 as a player, and now you've experienced it as a coach. And, you know, as a player, you're a young kid, you know, these guys are going to have memories for the rest of your life, you know, dogpiling each other, you know, and afterwards and taking pictures and all those things and wherever they went and ate that night, you know, last night. And what is the difference between winning it as a player and then winning it now as a coach? Because, right, as a coach, like you mentioned, it's about the kids, right? And you watch them celebrate, and you celebrate with your own coaches, right? And you do all that, and you definitely earn it. But it's a different feeling. It's like a father figure almost, like just like those guys. They went out and did the darn thing, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're there with them every day. I mean, you plan the practices. You try to put them in the best spots to win. And you know, as a player, it's fun because you just get to go play. And as a coach, you know, I stress about, well, am I making the right move by putting, you know, Alex over here and putting Brendan there, or, you know, Ty there, or Jacob here, and is this lineup right? I mean, I lose sleep over stuff like that. It really becomes all about them and making sure that they're in the best place they can be, you know, to win or perform the best they can, which our guys did very well this year.
Yeah, and when you win a championship on your path, you've got to win four games in Division II. You know, things got to go your way as well, right? You know, you ground ball here, ground ball there, hit and run that works to perfection. But you guys, I mean, how do you really explain that game? Gabe and I talked about it, and, you know, from our perspective, it was just, you know, punch, counter punch, right? And as a coach, and you're watching all this unfold, you know, you're making the moves and you're making the decisions, and you brought in Williams, who gave up those two home runs, right? The kid could have been dejected. And I saw you a couple times. You came off the mound, or, you know, it came to the dugout. Got him on ahead a little bit. Come on, kid, all right? Forget about that. Let's go do your job. So, during the course of the game, you know, obviously you're managing it and you're watching it, but do you ever become a fan of the game, or are you just like, no, I'm totally involved with that? When you think about that game, you're like, man, that was just a heck of a ball game by two good teams.
Yeah, I mean, afterwards you have a chance to digest it. But, I mean, you know, was it second inning with bases loaded, one out? Yeah. The second inning, loaded, one out. I'm kind of looking around going, oh, my gosh, here we go. But, again, that's why we want him on the mound, stays composed, with pop-up striker.
I think fly ball left, fly ball right.
Or a couple fly balls, right? Yeah. So at that point, you know, I'm excited. I give myself little moments in the game. Excited to watch him come off, high five everybody. Trey, I don't think Trey's given up a home run all year, let alone back-to-back home runs. I mean, he's been almost unhittable the last few games. So for him to do that, but the cool thing about our dugout is if you look at the video, he's the first guy to go crazy with Carson after he hits a bomb in the sixth. Like, they just relied on each other. And you can see it in all those moments. And those are the moments where I really tried to take it in. And I think as a player, it helped because as a player, I didn't. I just, you know, let's win. But as a coach, I tried to savor those little moments. And it's just so cool to see these kids pull for each other like that. It's unbelievable.
Talking with Ryan Smith, Clovis East baseball coach, and Alex Rigetti, our 1430 ESPN student athlete of the week. There's some unsung guys that you want to give a lot of credit to. You know, there's always guys that they don't get their name tweeted out or they don't get their name mentioned, but you know, they did little things, whether it's on the field or off the field. You know, some guys that you want to, you know, mention and give some examples of what some of these guys have done.
How much time you got?
I got it. Yeah, dude, we got 12 minutes, man, at least.
maybe Alex can agree or disagree with this one, but I think first guy, Bradley Gage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bradley Gage wasn't even really on the radar to catch this year. He catches game one. It was a little rough. We're going to ride it out with you, man. Just get better. And I think the last 10 or 12 games, I don't think he's had a pass ball. Like, not in one ball is hit a backstop. He's thrown a few guys out in the track. I DH'd for him this year, just kind of the way the lineup shook out. And once we got hot, I didn't want to mess with it. And so we had a couple conversations about it, but he takes BP every day. He's getting better every day. He understood his role. I think he's a guy that not a lot of people know. Yeah. Without him, I don't think we're able to do what we do. You agree, yeah. Alex?
So, Alex, as you know, he's your backstop, right? That's the guy you're communicating with. That's the guy you're trusting, right? You got to be able to trust him. You can talk about that base loaded, right? You call for something off speed. You know, you yank that pitch or something. You got to have confidence that dude's going to block it, right? So talk about the relationship that you had with him. And how that really worked.
Yeah, Bradley has definitely grown, I would say, the most on the team. I mean, he started out just a little sophomore and earned that spot as a starting catcher. And since then, he's just grown the confidence and he's gotten better every single day. And we've had a good connection, me and him. So it's been really good.
And I agree with Coach Smith, man. That second inning where they had the bases loaded and one out and did the call with Jose Gonzalez, we kind of looked at each other like, this is a pretty big part, of the ball game right here, pretty early. And, you know, you got that fly out to left and the fly out to right. Was the plan, Coach, all along for him to go four innings and then for Williams to go three? Was that inning-wise, was that what you guys were allowed to do?
No, we could have done whatever we wanted. Okay, Trey was, we were fully stocked. I mean, if he was going to show up for seven, let's go. We'll let you go. We made the decision, the top two guys in the lineup had hit him pretty hard, so we decided, hey, let's give Trey a chance, and we you know, trusted Trey to get it done, and obviously it went the way it went. But another guy, you know, thinking about your question a second ago, Javon Rodriguez is another dude that you know, hit nine all year and didn't hit very well as he wanted to, but the last 3 weeks, I think at one point he's hitting like 600. But I would make the argument that kid is the best defensive shortstop in the Valley. I mean, that guy from Central made two unreal plays. That play at the middle to get tired, so it's unbelievable. But Javon all year has been steady Eddie, a quiet leader, a quiet confidence, has really kind of grown into that role. I think Bradley and Javen are two guys that don't get a whole lot of notoriety. And I apologize if somebody's listening, I forgot about you. But those two guys have been solid, solid defensively, solid in their roles, and given us quality, quality innings.
And you need a complete team effort to have a championship team. Did you face Central during the season? I know you played them in three games in that 1 week. You pitched against them?
Yeah, I pitched the first game against them.
What was the score on that one?
5-3, something like that.
They're all pretty close, like 5-3, 7-6, and right?
Yeah, 5-3, 8-7. And then the last one was 6-3 or something. Yeah, I mean, Mulligan does a really good job over there, and those kids grind, and you know, they were kind of banged up all year, and I mean, every game with them is going to be tight. You know, going in, I can say it now because we're through it, but going into yesterday, I go, man, it's going to be really hard to beat these guys four times. It's hard to beat anybody four times. And I think all of us kind of knew it. Nobody ever said it out loud, but I think the players kind of felt it. Nobody wanted to put it out in the atmosphere, right? We're all, you know, superstitious baseball guys, but
yeah,
I mean, Alex threw well against them, and it matched up well, and worked out.
I want to talk, Alex, or you know what, Coach, I want to ask you, do you know state playoffs, like, you know, anything about that yet, what that might look like?
I know Thousand Oaks and Tribuco Hills were in the D2 Southern Section Final, and that's about all I know at this point. Okay. We're supposed to know tomorrow afternoon what that's going to look like, if we'll travel or host or, you know, all that good stuff, but, I mean, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, let's ride this thing while we can. I mean, with this group of kids, I mean, you don't know if you're ever going to get back to it. So let's get after it.
Yeah, the way state playoffs work is it's just a SoCal and a NorCal region. There's no true state champion. You know, like in basketball, we're going to play each other. So, yeah, I think last year was the first year we started. Yeah, I think last year was the first year of the state playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, I do want to ask you about water polo. You're a water polo dude. And again, what are you, 6'3"?
6'4".
6'4". All right, I'm going to rob you that. All right, 6'4". You know, when I talked to water polo guys, I had a lot of fun when I covered water polo because it's a fascinating game, first of all. But yeah, I mean, the size of water polo guys' hands, man, because they got to grip that ball and stuff like that. So, what do you love? What do you love about water polo, man? What do you love about being in the water and competing?
Just getting to be physical, get after it, score goals. Obviously, that's the best feeling, putting the ball in the back of the net. And I mean, just playing with my best friends. I mean, it's just super fun.
And being competitive. Coach Smith, I don't know, have you seen a lot of water polo? Is it the stuff that goes under the water, that we call the stuff that goes beneath the water, some of that stuff is pretty intense, right?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Pretty brutal, that's a good way to put it. So what was recruiting like for water polo? Did you have a lot of options? Did you go to Cal Baptist camps, or yeah, what does that look like? How did you decide on Cal Baptist?
Really, it was just kind of reaching out to coaches, talking to them. It was hard for like our recruiting class because of COVID and everything, so we didn't really have junior year, and there wasn't a lot, like coaches weren't really coming out to games because there wasn't really going on, so just reached out to coaches. I've been talking with Coach Rosa from Cal Baptist since end of my sophomore year, so he's been the first one, and yeah, just grew a connection with them.
What is the biggest difference, to see how you can put this, what's the biggest difference between water polo and baseball? To me, it's like almost opposite sports, right? Water polo, you know, it's a team sport, obviously, and you're in the water, and it's like, it was described to me as like soccer and basketball combined in the water. But yeah, I mean, is there any way to describe the two? You don't see too many water polo and baseball guys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the arm motion, I mean, that's pretty much the only like thing that goes together. So I feel like water polo has helped me though, pitching wise. I mean, it's just got my arm stronger and gotten a better grip on the ball. So
how fast do you guys even gauge how fast you throw a water polo ball? Like, you know, that's not a thing. Just throw it hard. All right, Coach, we got a couple minutes here. I want to give Alex the last word, but I want to ask you, how do you just summarize this season for Timberwolves baseball, and just kind of the season as a whole? You know, you're going from summer ball last year to fall ball, then to what happened last night. How do you put it in, you know, one ball?
I mean, that's kind of tough to do, but I'll have a better answer in a couple weeks. I'm sure I have some time to reflect. But if I could say it one word, it would be a grind. I think we asked the kids to start grinding last summer in the weight room, brought in Donovan Ellis to run our weight room, do our Metcon stuff, which the big switch we wanted to make was the mental toughness. So the workouts were extremely difficult. And the idea was, you guys are going to go through difficult things together. Trust each other and just keep going. Brought in some other new faces to help us coach. Went from a staff of 3 to a staff of 7. And it was going to be grind. So we went 4 days a week in the fall, a couple hours a day, all the little things, just grind, grind, grind. Early in the year, obviously, we didn't have the results we wanted. I always go back to this, the Memorial game, the Coke Classic. We lost 3-0. Krusker Ball throws a great game on the mound. Paul Martinez lines out to deep right center, could have scored 2 runs. We don't get a call that goes our way. And so the mantra was just keep grinding. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. And I was nervous as a coach. Like, it's just, they're kids. They're going to be like, dude, this is brutal. I'm not going to keep doing this and not get the results. But they stayed resilient. They stayed strong, and they just grinded. And his at-bat was the epitome of it last night. And even Brennan. I mean, Brennan, 2 strikes, double. We get an intentional walk, an infield hit. And then, I mean, Alex's AB kind of, I think, epitomized our whole season. Is don't give in. Stay to the plan. Stick for each other. That was the ultimate team at. For me, it was the ultimate team at-bat. I mean, obviously, he wants to smoke a double to win the game.
Yeah.
But I think if you asked him, I don't care. He could have hit me. I don't care. I want to win. Yeah. And I think just grinding it would be kind of the – I don't know if Alex agrees with that.
Yeah. Alex, yeah. How do you summarize your season again? You were the Close East Athlete of the Year. You're a three-sport guy, you know, water polo, basketball, and baseball. I don't know how you did it, man. A testament to you and your family as well for grinding it out. Got yourself a scholarship at Cal Baptist. So, and you got graduation coming up too soon, right?
We had that
on, got it. On Thursday. Jeez, what a week for this guy. All right. So I know this might seem like a loaded question, but you know, what was the theme, I should say, of your high school career? Like, you know, is there somebody you want to thank or, you know, something that you're really looking forward to, or how do you summarize your entire high school career?
Definitely thank my parents. I mean, they've been there for me since I was born, but they've pushed me and made me a great student and athlete. So, and then also all my coaches, I mean, they've pushed me incredibly. Coach Wiggins, this year he's pushed me a lot, and he's made me a better person on and off the court. So, and Coach Ellis as well too. He's been a great asset to my career this past year, about a year and a half. So.
Yeah, and that's a great summary. And thanking the coaches, because, yeah, I think a lot of us that played high school sports and even college sports and even the pros, we look back and reflect on the coaches that were tough on us. We're like, yeah, okay, I think maybe that coach was right. So all those lessons that we learned throughout high school are definitely important. So, Alex, congrats on a great season. Congrats on an incredible game last night. You're a 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. So, yeah, good luck in the future. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Coach Smith, thank you. You've been awesome all year. Yeah. Thanks for your text and texting me the day of the game and stuff like that. I really appreciate it. And again, congrats. When you get that Wolfpack championship t-shirt, you can set aside a large ring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm already looking at ring ideas. I'm going to talk to Alex right now about how we're going to design this thing.
Oh, I can't wait. That's fun stuff. All right. Thank you guys for coming again. Coming back, we're going to wrap everything up, man. What a fun 2 hours of Central Section High School Sports we talked about here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul. Another great show. Just a fun 2 hours of pure high school content. I want to thank First String Sports, as always. They are my day ones. They are great sponsors. I love doing the show here. Nice. Want to do it anywhere else. They're fantastic over here.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I want to thank Kevin Patrick for jumping on. Clovis West baseball coach. Kevin is a great guy. He's always willing to come on and talk high school sports. And congrats to his son, Tyler, who verbally committed to play baseball at Fresno State. I want to thank former Menachi grad, Fresno State baseball, now Boston Red Sox scout Josh Lamadera. Labby was awesome. We talked about Brock Jones, draft stock, Buchanan grad, tearing it up at Stanford. Some of the other kids, the two down in Bakersfield area, Cutter Coffee of Liberty and Austin Charles of Stockdale, and just kind of what it takes to be a professional baseball player and all the things that they look for. So thank you to Josh for coming on. Again, thanks to Gabe Camarillo for producing the show. Follow him at Twitter at Gabe Camarillo. He's going to be at the state track and field championships there if you can in high school. I want to thank Alex Rigetti, who just came in, just a great kid, and thank Clovis East coach Ryan Smith, the baseball coach, who is always very gracious with his time as well. Congrats to the Timberwolves for winning the D2 Central Section title. Lots of stuff going on tonight. I know Madera South Lemoore is playing baseball right now. Emmanuel's playing at 2 o'clock against Kennedy. Tonight, softball championship, Clovis and Central, couple old foes there as well. Lots of fun stuff going on. So thank you guys for listening. This is always a lot of fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters. Again, thank you to everybody out there for all your feedback and listening and all your great comments. I really appreciate you all. Until next time, we got a couple weeks, a couple more weeks, and then I'm going to break for the summer. But we got 2 more shows. And in closing, be kind, be generous, be compassionate in everything you do, and leave it all in the field. Talk to you soon.